Lecture 33, The Carolingian Renaissance.
Welcome once again to our series of lectures on the foundations of Western civilization. This lecture, number 33 in the series, is entitled The Carolingian Renaissance. Last time we talked about the world of Charlemagne, the world built by the Carolingian family. Today we want to turn to the cultural life, the intellectual life, to some of the major achievements of that period, not in the realms of government and institutions, which we talked about yesterday, but rather in the realms of culture. As early as 1839, a French scholar, Jean-Jacques Ampère, who was writing a literary history of France, referred to la Renaissance Carolingienne, the Carolingian Renaissance. What can he have meant by that? Now, the term Renaissance is more typically applied to the 14th and 15th centuries, particularly in Italy. We'll come to that period in a later lecture. The word Renaissance has come to be applied sort of very generally whenever there is a moment of cultural development, of cultural advance, of cultural achievement. But has the word perhaps become such light coin that it doesn't buy anything anymore? Is it applied so widely? Well, whatever we may think in our own time, 1839 is a long time ago. And it was interesting that that Ampère would have used the term to apply to the Carolingian period so long ago as that. Now, we could approach this issue from several different points of view. For example, we could reflect on terms. We could reflect on terms like Renaissance, Reform, Revival, because each one of these has been applied by modern scholars to the Carolingian period, and because each of these terms, and their Latin equivalents, of course, appear in Carolingian sources. That's the first crucial point. The Carolingians themselves had a very profound sense that they were doing something novel, they were doing something important, that they were engaged in reform, they were engaged in revival, that they were engaged in a great cultural project. They had a very clear sense of that themselves. So it is not artificial for us to attach words like that to them, but there isn't too much point in playing semantic games. Well, should we choose this word reform or that word revival or the other word renaissance? Renaissance has been used for a long time, and it seems to me perfectly satisfactory. Now, another approach, and it seems to me a more fruitful one, a more productive one, is to inquire into the inspirations for Carolingian activity. What animated them? What made them tick? What made them do what they did? Well, in the very first place, there can't be any question about this, the Bible was absolutely central. As a book, as a source of information, and as a literary model. In some very real ways, we could say, perhaps we could formulate an understanding of the Carolingian Renaissance this way. It was an attempt to mobilize the Bible and implement it as a norm. The Christian Roman Empire was important to the Carolingians too. The Christian Roman Empire. The empire after Constantine, not the empire of Augustus. This provided a certain model of political organization. It provided a model of a certain kind of Christian leaders, of Christian rulers. The fathers of the church were copied, were studied, were transmitted by the Carolingians. It was to the church fathers, in a way, that the Carolingians turned back again and again and again. They were really bringing these church fathers back to life. We sometimes think of the Italian Renaissance as a time when classical authors were brought back to life. Again, we'll explore that theme in a later lecture. But we can certainly say of the Carolingians that they were keeping the church fathers alive, if perhaps not bringing them back to life. They hadn't actually ever particularly died out. The question of what was done with classical texts and classical authors is a little more difficult to assess. We'll have something to say about this as we proceed through this lecture, but generally speaking, the point I want to make in these preliminary remarks is that the Carolingians were turning to the church fathers more than to classical authors. So they're looking to the Bible, they're looking to the Christian Roman Empire, and they're looking to the church fathers. Now, another approach that we might take to this Carolingian Renaissance is to lay some emphasis on that first word, Carolingian. This movement, whatever we call it, was encouraged, supported, and financed by the Carolingian family. They gave it its coherence. They gave it an impetus. They gave it a drive that it simply could not have had otherwise. So in very real ways, we can attach this movement quite clearly to the Carolingian family. Absent their efforts, this phenomenon simply would not have happened. Now, we can explore this Renaissance phenomenon from a number of different points of view.